"Take, eat, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Amen." I've had conversations with people who told me very fervently that they believed in Jesus, and yet, in the same breath, they went on to say, "But I have no use for the church." The argument usually goes something like this: I don't go to church because we all know you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. A car is a car, whether it's going down the road or parked in a garage. Now, it's true. Faith comes from hearing the words of Christ. And that word of Christ can be heard in a church as well as a bedroom. But that word of Christ also says, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some. It is the word of God that people claim to read that says we are the body of Christ. We are the communion of saints, called to love one another, serve one another, mutually encourage one another with the good news, and you cannot do that when you separate yourself from other believers. It is in the word of God that says, here is a meal for you, the body and blood of Christ, for the forgiveness of your sin. It's for the troubled conscience, the burdened soul, the guilty sinner. It's a meal in which Christ says he feeds you himself. Therefore, if you call yourself a Christian, if you really believe you need God's grace, if you really know and believe that your flesh is sick and dead in sin, then it makes no sense to willfully stay away from a meal where the living God promises to come to you. And that's why I'm always a little suspicious when Christians tell me they believe in Jesus, but they want no part of the church, and they have no time for a meal that God says is his body and blood for the forgiveness of your sin. If you call yourself a Christian, why wouldn't you run to receive this gift that God gives you? They are simple words. This is my body. This is my blood. And by these words, Christian, you have exactly what God says. One cannot read the institution of the Lord's Holy Supper and not see death and betrayal surrounding this meal. One reason why we as God's people say, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Death is intrinsic to the Lord's Supper. Blood poured out, the body given over to death. This meal embodies the crucifixion of Jesus. It was instituted literally hours before his arrest and his death. And so in this meal, we find Jesus' last will and testament, his word, his promise lasting throughout the ages, that when you consume this meal, remember your Savior and receive his body and his blood that he gives you. Simple words. Right before he was arrested, put on trial, and crucified. This is my body. This is my blood. Do you believe it? Human reason says it's impossible. A wafer of bread, a shot of wine is supposed to be the body of our living God. No way! That's what our sinful flesh wants to say. And we also want to say we really don't need this. We can stay at home and get along just fine without it. The flesh whispers that. And it's not a new way of thinking. In Luther's day, there was no shortage of people who raged against the words of Jesus, twisting God's word, spinning it to suit their own personal theological whims and opinions. There were those then, and those now, who see these clear words of Christ only to say, impossible, it cannot be. And our sinful flesh, filled with sin and disbelief, tells us, you know, it's just another meal reminding us of God, nothing more. People of God, there is more to it than that. Christ says so. And it is by his word that we confess what this meal is. And it is by his word that we know what our God is feeding us. Our Lord doesn't say this reminds you of, or this represents, or this symbolizes me. It's better than that. It's better than that. It is Christ saying, this is my body. This is my blood. Take, eat, take, drink. It's for the forgiveness of your sins. And faith, friends, faith latches on to these words. And by faith, we receive this food that is pure, wholesome, soothing medicine for body and soul. We take our Lord at his word. We are called to believe in what he says. But not an easy thing to do, is it? It's not an easy thing to do because not only does our flesh battle the spirit, that happens, but frankly, we live in a world filled with liars. And we've all been there. When someone told us they were going to do something, they made you a promise, and they didn't keep it. We've been lied to before, and it doesn't feel very good. You pour your blood, sweat, and tears into a company. You work hard and they tell you this, they tell you that. You're going to get your raise. You're going to get your promotion. And it doesn't happen. We've been lied to before. We've been hurt when we took someone at their word. We thought they were going to do what they promised. And they didn't do it. So it isn't hard to feel hurt, skeptical of a world in which there are so many lies and deceit. But on the other hand, there have been times when we have told people we're going to do things only not to do them. How many times have we said to somebody, I'll keep you in my prayers, only to turn around and forget and the prayer never leaves our lips? I'll call you later. I'll shoot you an email. I'll do it later, and we don't. Lies and deceit, friends. Lies and deceit are not hard to find, even in ourselves. But here's the good news. Thankfully, our Lord doesn't work that way. Your God does not work that way. His word is true, and when he tells you something, he will do it. When he spoke to his prophets and told them the Messiah would come to crush the serpent's head, he did just that. God told them his servant would come to take away disease, sorrow, to give sight to the blind and hearing to the deaf. God told his Old Testament prophets, yes, my anointed one will come, and he will be mocked by men, stricken and smitten by God. This our God said. And he fulfilled it. When Jesus said the Son of Man would go as it is written, it happened. I tell you these things to remind you, your God keeps his promises. He is good to his word, every last one of them. The word of man deceives. The word of man lies. Not so with the word of our God. His word is true. It's a performative word. And all that means is his word performs. It does what our God sets it out to do. So when he says, this is my body, this is my blood, bank on it. It's true, because your God is not a liar, but he has kept and he will keep every promise that he has made to you. And speaking of promises, not only does our Lord say, when you receive this meal, you receive Christ for the forgiveness of sins. He says that. But there is also, in the words of institution, one little word we mustn't overlook, friends. It's the little word, new. I will not drink again the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. This meal links us to the heavenly feast God has prepared, that marriage feast of the Lamb, where you will dine with your Lord for eternity, eating and drinking new. This your Lord promises. And I want you to think about those words. Think about eating and drinking with Christ with nothing old about you. No dim eyes, creaky knees, bad backs, diabetes, cancer, fading minds. New, not old. It's a word contrary to our very existence, right? Because we're always getting older. But your God tells you, he promises you, as you age, as we age, we can look forward to being new with our God and his kingdom. And that's a promise, friends, that has been ultimately secured for you in the crucifixion of Jesus. A promise yours in this meal. So come. Come and take what your Lord gives you. Food now. Food for eternity. Amen.